And welcome back, everyone. I am Stephen Robertson. This is Cancel the Cabal. This is my first time back in a few weeks now. Thank you, Jason. It's good to be back. And everyone else. I'm not going to be doing very long tonight, just a little bit. I just want to talk about my experience, how my life has changed. I hope to be... Well, I am back tonight. It's a little bit weird. I have some things to talk about. I've had a life-changing experience in the last 3 weeks. I've had a lot of time to think about what I'm going to say here, and I'm still not really positive what I'm going to say. I'm probably only going to do about a half of an hour, unless somebody wants to come on and talk about a few things, but I'm a diabetic now. I'm a type 2 diabetic. That means, I'm currently on insulin and oral medications 3 times a day and my insulin shot at nighttime. It's a longer-lasting insulin, so it kicks in during the middle of the night and then lasts throughout the day. Yes, hello to you too, Paul. And, evidently I had had some sugar problems for a while and didn't even know it. I did know it, but I didn't. I was quite in denial. I thought I could take care of it with my diet, but that wasn't happening. My diet was good, and I was losing a lot of weight, but it seems that... Hi, Lori. Hi, Emily. Hello, everyone else in the chat room there. I was trying to take care of my sugar. I had found out back in June, but as I said, I was in denial. I thought I could take care of it with my diet and that, and I was doing really good with the diet. Losing a lot of weight, but it seems that the weight was coming off. My body wasn't processing food. It wasn't processing the nutrients that are in the food anyways. It was just passing right on through me. I wasn't making much insulin. My own body wasn't. And for some reason, I wasn't getting the calories. I wasn't getting the nutrients and the vitamins because of the sugar. I was supposed to have been on some oral medications back in June. But, sugar's nothing to mess with, Emily. Nothing at all. Thank you, Kieran. It's good to be back. My sugar had been high, and I wasn't feeling any kind of effects to it. I had felt okay, so I thought I was doing good. But I'm not really sure what had happened. Something finally came to a head. I had had a dry mouth for a long time. And I understand now that that was one of the symptoms. I'd had this nagging cough for a long, long time, too. I think probably back in June is when it started or something like that. May or June. I had started getting this nagging cough. It was a dry cough. Couldn't figure out what it was. Doctors couldn't figure out either. I'd had a chest x-ray. I didn't have asthma. I didn't have COPD. I didn't have... pneumonia or a pleurisy or anything like that. Thanks, Finn. Thanks, Ian. But I'd had the nagging cough and it had bugged me for a long, long time. I had to mute for a lot of shows because I would just cough my head off. And I was drinking a lot of water, a lot of fluids. I was drinking, anywhere between 5 and 6, sometimes even 7 liters of water a day. I had to urinate quite often. It all came to a head on the fourth of this month. Don't really know what the deal was, but I couldn't hold any water down. I couldn't hold any food down. Everything was coming back. Everything was just coming up. I'm and out, up and out. And I went to a little walk-in clinic where they have a few doctors and nurses that kind of serve. I think they probably have them over there in Europe. It's just a little doctor's office with 4 or 5 doctors that can service a lot of people that can't get in to see their own doctors, like after hours or holidays and weekends and stuff like that. And yes, it is, Lori, it is hereditary. I have people in on both sides that have sugar, absolutely. Anyways, back to the walk-in clinic, and they took a little sample of blood and tested my sugar out, and it was over 500. And they said they couldn't help me there. They said I needed to go to the emergency room. So that's what happened. I had somebody take me there to the emergency room. And I was severely dehydrated. It took him 40 minutes to find a vein to put an IV in me. Lori, I've never met anybody with over a 900 account, but I've heard of people that have had over 900 counts, on their blood sugar. I heard of a story that a young man had a 1400 blood sugar and he was still walking around talking. He checked himself into the hospital, but, amazingly enough, he wasn't in a coma. I'm trying to read all of these comments and questions in the chat there, but my eyes have changed also. No, the blood pressure wasn't actually all that high. It wasn't over 250, but it was up in the 170s, over 110, I think. But anyways, I got into the emergency room, and it took them 40 minutes to find a vein to put an IV in me for. To start putting fluids in me and insulin. That was the first day. I really felt weird. As I said, I couldn't keep any food or water down, and I was quite dizzy. I didn't get to the point where I thought I might pass out or anything like that, but I couldn't think straight, and I wasn't thinking very clearly. Yes, well, I do need the exercise, Lori. Even though I have lost 90 pounds this year, but I think it was a false loss. I think my body didn't. I think my body dropped the weight because I wasn't getting any of the nutrients from the food or vitamins. At least that's what a couple of medical opinions seem to have told me. Anyways, maybe you can confirm or deny that, Lori or Vin. Yes, possibly so, Vin. Yeah, absolutely. Under my wallet. They could probably find a vein under there somewhere. But, well, I don't know. My wallet. I guess if I had somebody else's money, I could probably burn mine. But, anyways, the first day, I wasn't able to get any kind of water. They wouldn't let me have any water in the, ICU. They checked me into ICU immediately. Intensive care unit, what they call it over here in America. Not sure what they call it over there. But I was able to talk them into ice chips. Ice little, I guess they had a crushed ice machine, what they would give patients in that. And I was able to talk them into doing that. But I would only get ice chips every, like, 2.5 hours. I would get a half a cup or 3/4 of a cup of ice chips. And the nurse would always tell me to make that last for a while, and I tried to, but I always tried to get as much as I could because I was severely dehydrated and my mouth was very, very dry. And, whoops, okay, there we go. Sorry about that. I thought something was going wrong, but it didn't. My screen went blank. I didn't move my mouse for about 15 minutes, but anyways, 10 minutes. The first night was quite harrowing. They would wake me up every single hour to prick my finger to get a new sugar reading. Actually, that went on ICU the first 3 nights. I think in that first 3 nights, 72 hours there in the ICU, I probably got 4 hours or maybe 5 hours of sleep in that 72 hours. I was very, very thankful and glad to get sent to a regular recovery room after the ICU. And I was able to get regular water in the ICU. Ice water, actually. Oh, I'm sorry, not the ICU, the regular recovery room. I was thankful for that. And mysteriously, I don't know, maybe it was mysteriously, maybe it wasn't, my dry mouth started going away. As soon as they got my insulin and sugar levels back down a little bit less than, I think by the time I got into my recovery room on the third day, my sugar levels were back down below 200. And that's when, well, they kept me on the IV all through ICU. And then I was only on the IV in my recovery room for the time I was getting antibiotics and insulin. I had a few sores that weren't healing because of the sugar. if a lot of people don't know, if you get a sore or a cut and you have bad sugar, you have trouble healing any kind of a little situation there. I've actually had a direct cousin, my aunt's son. He's lost his leg, his left leg, from the knee down to sugar because of a little cut that didn't heal, a cut on his foot or a toe or something. I'm not sure what the deal was. He lost that about 3.5, 4 years back. First, he lost his ankle, and then they finally had to take his knee. Yes, I believe it was, Lori. The insulin levels. The first 3 days in ICU, and then the next 3 days in the recovery room. I believe it was all of the vitamin B12. Okay, well, yeah, I can take that too. That probably wouldn't hurt, but I'm not sure what that word is. I'm not even going to try to attempt that. I would probably butcher that word, whatever that is, after the B17. But anyways, I believe it was the insulin. The numbers started going down immediately once I started getting the insulin in the ICU. I would ask them every time they would take a sugar level every hour, what the numbers were, because it concerned me. I didn't really want to be in the hospital to begin with, but I knew I had to be. I knew there was a reason. Okay. Sorry about that, Lori. Okay. Yeah, the insulin, sugar level started coming down with the insulin every time they would put a new bag on, which was every 4 hours, or I believe so, in the ICU. And then once I got into my recovery room, it was every 12 hours they would put the insulin in me and the antibiotics. But now I'm not so sure. I have an appointment with my family doctor tomorrow. I think it's for a follow-up. I'm not sure if they're going to regulate my oral medications or not, or the insulin or not, because I'm not sure if my sugar levels are in danger of being too low, hyperglycemic, or not. But I had a sugar level of 48 when I woke up this morning. Took it just after I woke up, but I hope that's not too low. Some of my levels in the morning when I wake up are anywhere from 61 to 68 and 72. So they may have to switch some things around and take me off of something, or put me on something else, or whatever the case happens to be. The ER doctor, the emergency room doctor, and the doctor that took care of the recovery room floor was the same doctor. He said, I may or may not have to be on insulin my entire life. I guess it doesn't really matter. I don't know. Maybe there's some things out there that I can do. I've heard my friend Suzanne Pozell told me last Saturday that there's some kind of a diet out there. I think it's a raw organic diet that can help with people that have bad sugar. So I might look into that. I don't know. Yeah, they are. Hi, John McCann. How are you? Hi, everyone. I'm going to put a little song on here and come back for a little bit more. So it's good to be back, everyone. Thank you. And here comes a fitting song. All right. Welcome back, everyone. I told you I would explain there, Mahat. I don't think I want anything to do with Unseen, and I'm not sure if anybody else should, too. Suzanne Pozell, my good friend, she looked into Unseen. And it seems the owner and the CEO, or the president, CEO, whatever you want to call him, he has ties to a couple of CIA dummy corporations, known CIA dummy corporations. He's on two boards of two CIA corporations. So I think she broke that a few months back. So that's not really news to me, anyways. Might be news to a lot of people, but I don't think anybody should be messing around with that Unseen. I actually looked into it and signed up for it, but I accessed it one time, and then Suzanne found out about it, and I dropped it like a hot potato. Haven't been back to it since. But I want to get back to my my situation, my my newfound life here. This sugar is really wreaking havoc with my eyesight. Previous to the 4th, I had good eyesight up close. I could see and read, you know, the computer screen or a newspaper or whatever I wanted to. And I was allegedly nearsighted. I had glasses for almost 8 years that had nearsighted prescriptions. I had trouble seeing at a long distance. And now that I've got this type 2 diabetes situation, I need reading glasses, and my vision is changing just about daily. I bought some cheapy reading glasses that are like I think 1.25 prescriptions, and then I bought another one that's a 1.75 prescription. I'm not even sure what that means. I think that's just the magnification levels, but it seems that those aren't any good anymore. It's changed even more. I'm gonna have to. I either want to look into LASIK eye surgery, or maybe contacts, or some other type of glasses or something. Because it's really wreaking havoc with my pool game. It's suffered in the last 3 weeks. Although my health is getting better, my eyesight is not, and I want to get on that as quick as I can. I want to get my pool game back to where it was. Even though I was getting sicker and sicker, unbeknownst the reason why, my pool game was at its best. I know that seems a little bit odd, but the worse I got, the sicker I got, the better my pool game got. I don't want to go back to the old sugar levels or anything like that, but I sure would like to get my eyesight back to the comparability of what it was. Where it was. But as I mentioned, I didn't really want to do a very long show tonight, unless somebody wanted to come on and talk for a few minutes. But I'm going to put one more song on there and see if anybody does. If not, I'm just going to sign off and I don't know, just take it easy for the night and see if somebody wanted to do a ninja or something like that. So be right back in a few minutes here again, everyone. All right, welcome back, everyone. Thanks, Ed. That is a nice tune. That was Bob Marley, Buffalo Soldier. And I do have a caller now. I want to welcome Vin to the show. Welcome, Vin.
Hi, Stephen. Great to hear you back on the radio, my friend. Great that you're out of hospital and on the mend. And we missed you. We missed you.
Well, I missed being here. I did talk a family member into bringing a laptop up to the recovery room. Not the ICU room, but the regular recovery room. So I was in the chat there a couple days for two or three shows there, or a few shows. Did say hi to everyone. Mentioned I was on a laptop and was listening to the music and the shows. So that was quite fun.
I suppose we should get this out of the way. I sort of feel a little guilty about all the bets I made on pool games while you were gone, and I won thousands.
You did, did you?
I'm only joking.
Well.
But I should have done.
Yeah. I've got...
Stephen, just so folks know, Stephen used to play pool with the blindfold on with that cue behind the back. You know what I'm saying?
No,
he had a shark fin at the back. Did they take the shark fin?
Shark
off
fin, reading? Yes. I've got just a regular fish on the back now. No shark.
No, look, seriously, it is good to have you back. But I also want to take the opportunity to let folks know there's new developments on the site. I know it looks exactly the same, but it's not. The schedule, tomato, tomato. Nick Nomic very kindly went and did a rebuild of the schedule and the daily schedule underneath the chat box. So now it's written in JavaScript, and it should all work. Anybody finds any problems or the links aren't working or going the right way, please do let me know. We can change them. But fair play to him. He did a fantastic job on that. And now I used to have to change the images underneath manually. And now, I think at 4 a.m. we find out they should change automatically. See the three images for the daily schedule under the chat box. They should track what happens in the schedule now. That makes sense.
Sure. No?
Okay. And then when the site opens up, the schedule should automatically open on the right day. So you should be able to see, like today, for example, Wednesday, should open up Men's Human Rights, Out of the Bag, Cancel the Cabal, automatically. So he did a fantastic job. And I just want to say thanks to Nick Nomick for that, because he put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Mm-hmm. So your condition, Stephen, type 2 diabetes, I believe, well, if what I'm hearing and what I'm told is correct, it's not the severe kind. Is that right?
I'm not type even positive. I think I've heard that everybody is born with type 1 diabetes, but then something changes after a while. But I don't really know what the difference is. I haven't researched it enough to actually.
Am I right in saying type 1 is the bad one?
I don't know that.
Not that either of them are good, but, you know, it's worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Vin, it's severe, or it's not severe. That's what Lori just said.
Not severe. Yeah, no, I can see that in the chat there, yeah. Okay. Well, then that's okay. So as far as I know, there are other things out there that apparently one can do so that that condition is no longer with you, but maybe we won't talk about that on air at the moment, and let's see how we go. Tell me about the insurance situation over there with hospitals and all that. When they bring you in, I mean, is it like we see on the television here that, like, literally, you know, people pumping blood are asked for their insurance, and if they don't provide it, well, you know, stop bleeding on our floor, sir, and get out of the hospital. Is it that bad?
No. Actually, I was already in the system. I've been in their system. I went to the local hospital, and I've been in their system for years and years and years, over 20 now, or even more than that. But they had all my information, and all they need. Well, they were sticking a needle in my left arm, and with my right hand, I was signing the papers.
Right, and with our other hand, that was reaching for your wallet.
Exactly. Yes, but
look, it's getting like that here. It's crazy.
Well, you know, it just, when does it stop? You know, I mean, people are going to be sick, and people are going to get sick. And when does the time that profits and money outweigh human lives?
Yeah. Well, sure. Look at the system. That's the way the system has been for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
What people fail to realize about the inverted commas system is there's nobody. The system is not an individual, so it can't care. And the people who are involved in the system are told, follow procedure. So they follow procedure, you know, how they feel about it. That's where they get that expression from. Whoa, I'm just doing my job. What that actually really means is I'm performing the functions I'm told I'm allowed to perform only according to the system. And they don't. What that does is it prevents people's humanity from kicking in quite often. People who, you know, if you met them on the street, they do anything to help you. And then yet they go into system mode when they put a uniform on, and then they just walk all over you. It's crazy.
Oh, yes, yes.
I'm not suggesting they did for you. In fact, I was talking to you when you were in the hospital, when Kyler rang.
Yeah.
Did you tell anyone about the Kyler call?
No, I haven't yet. No, this is actually the first time.
Okay, no, fairness, fair play to him. He was concerned about you. Fair play to him.
Yes, he was. He just called me out of the blue and said, you know, just as normal, what you doing? What you up to? And I said, well, I'm currently in the ICU unit of my local hospital. You are? What happened? What are you doing there? He just, you know, he went into Kyler Davenport mode.
Yeah, yeah. No, but in fairness to him, he was decent. He made a call directly to the hospital on your behalf to let them know that loads of people knew you were there and we'd be watching.
Yeah, he called the hospital administrator, and then he said he called someone else and said he was going to be watching them. So they better take care of me.
Yeah, because when I was talking to Steve, just so folks know, I was talking to Stephen on the phone then later in the hospital, and a nurse or an orderly or something came up to you and said it to you. I could actually hear that.
Yes.
So I just thought, you know, at the same time, I thought, fair play to him. He cares. You know, that's nice. That's a good thing to do, I think.
Yes, he absolutely does.
Yeah.
And I still can't get him back on Facebook yet. Somehow I've been dropped off of his friends list, and he's been dropped off of mine, and I don't know. We just can't get.
He's been doing all sorts of crazy things lately, I think.
Have they?
So I'm told. I've actually opened an account on Seen.is and Unseen, and I believe you have something that you want to say about that.
Unseen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what I happened to mention before the last break there, what Suzanne found out just from a couple simple searches.
I didn't hear that bit. I was out in the kitchen doing stuff. What was the...
Well, Suzanne Pozell did some searching on Unseen, I guess the CEO or the president. I don't know if it's the same man or not, but he's on a couple of boards of two known CIA dummy corporations.
Right.
So that's what I was telling Mahat.
That doesn't bother me because, again, I don't have to worry about anything I put up because I'm not doing anything wrong.
Exactly.
The only thing that bugs me about Facebook is the amount of control they exert over what you put up. Whereas seeing, as far as I can tell, I'm a lot freer and I don't have all this ban reporting crap. You can't be targeted by,
trolls?
Like trolls to just keep. Yeah. So, I mean, look, if you're going to worry about what you're going to put online, folks, I'd say if you're going to worry about it, keep it in your head. Don't put it online.
Yeah. But look at the way Facebook was in the, you know, up until like about a year to a year and a half ago, Vin. I mean,
maybe
things were just
great. Go that way too.
Yeah.
But until it does, and you know, and let's face it, if it does, another version will come out somewhere.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, that's the way the internet works, eh? I mean, it's the internet, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
The way I always took the attitude that anything you do or say online stays online. It doesn't come off.
It doesn't go away.
It does. Yeah. It's like, you know, I mean, look at archive.org, for example, the internet archive. I mean, I had people giving me abuse and hassle, et cetera, et cetera. And then they started to deny it. And I went, oh, okay. Once I saw them deny it, I then went into the Wayback Machine.
The Wayback Machine, yeah.
And I pulled all the screenshots from their website, proving beyond the shadow of a doubt that they were, in fact, telling Porky's, not I. And, it was black and white. They could do nothing about it. They just had to take it. So, and I've had to use that in a few different instances. So, as I say, it's on the internet, folks. You know, it doesn't go away. Which is why, you know, us talking about passive language and a passive attitude, you can still say what you need to say, but once you frame it correctly, and then you won't have any problems.
Yeah. People just, a lot of people today just don't think about what they're going to write or say. Exactly. They just...
Fingers are moving and, you know...
Tempers are flaring.
Yep. Yep. And then what happens? Well, somebody says something either stupid or unfortunate, and before you know, we're hearing another story where riot police kick down the door of such and such's house, you know, because he said something moronically stupid on the internet.
Yeah. Well, you know, over here in America, I'm not sure if it's that way over there, but if you threaten somebody with bodily harm, even jokingly or something like that. Oh, you know, I could kill you for that. Or, I could kill somebody for doing something like that. Or, I could beat the crap out of somebody. They could be arrested for, I think there's a special term for it.
Stupidity.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But
we hereby charge you with 3 counts of stupidity.
Stupidity.
How do you plead? Guilty.
Right.
Yeah. But look, I mean, what can you do? They're trying to, in one way, they're kind of right, because it does slow people up from typing stupid, moronic bullshit. And on the other hand, you think, yeah, but it is unfortunate what's happening to the people who generally are just pecking. The people who type stuff like that aren't exactly rocket scientists, right?
No, they're not.
So, yes, they're making, I mean, you know, it's a double-edged sword, right?
Catch-22 situation, yep.
Yeah, whereas, you know, what we're doing is we're trying to encourage people how to, look, don't be getting all bent out of shape. Almost everything. In fact, you know, there's very few instances or situations that arise that I think we can't find a remedy for and a passive, peaceful solution. So there's no need to get bent out of shape. You know, there's no need to get all excited and, you know, rant. So, you know...
Well, you know, like I mentioned, that seems to be the problem with a lot of people today. They seem to want to fly off the handle instead of use their head for something other than something to hang their hat on.
Yeah, I mean, okay, well, I'll leave it go for tonight. But there was a situation I was looking at in the chat box. And, you know, this type of stuff happens on a regular basis. And, I keep saying to people, well, look, if you're trying to be passive, you won't have any problems in the chat box. But some people, they try to use language in an attempt to poke at others. And we all see it. And usually what happens is we'll see an individual in the chat box do that. And usually in the background, people will be cross-messaging each other saying, oh, dear, look at this one. We've got another one, you know.
Yep.
we have patience with them, because we say, look, well, okay, maybe they're not the brightest spark at the moment, or maybe they just haven't got a handle on using the language, but they'll get there, you know. So we have a bit of, we give people the time, unless they're just totally outrageous, in which case you say, oh, look here, you come into my living room here and you're just spreading shit all over the place. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've learned in the year and a half that I've been here now, since June of 2013.
Yep.
It's been a while now. I've learned to just take a lot of the chat as just I just take it with a grain of salt, because I've learned how the Irish and the English and some of the other I've learned how you I've learned how you work, or I've learned how you roll. If that's what.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
If that's the way you want to call it, or say it.
Yeah. We have a different, I suppose. We have a different way about us, I suppose.
Yeah.
Language, but at the same time, you know, I can tell, for example, I can tell the difference. I can see two or three people having an exchange in the chat box, whereas I could forgive other people thinking they're having a ding dong, and I'd be going, no, they're actually friends. That's how they talk to each other. That's,
sure.
That's just them having a chin wag. They're both at home laughing their asses off at what they're typing.
Yeah.
Other people look at it and go, are they having an argument? I go, no.
No, they're having fun.
They're the best of buddies. You know? Yeah.
You know, like, over here, when we come, go into the pool hall or the pub, you know, somebody will say, how you doing there, fat boy? Or, you know, like, well, you know, I'd kind of like a second opinion. Well, okay, you're ugly too, you know?
There you go. Yeah. Well, we probably have even a more severe version of that.
Yeah.
we do. Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I'm glad you're back. What's your plan of action? I mean, are you going to ease back a bit for a while, or are you going to come full steam ahead, or how are you going to go?
Well,
I mean, you got a lot of other radio shows you're doing as well, so.
Yeah, I'm not actually going to cut back. I'm not sure how long I want to do every single week, but, you know, I want to do a show every single week.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's no problem. I mean, there's a few changes going to happen to the schedule over the next while, because we have more hosts who want to come along. James Roy, for example, wants to do 4 half-hour slots through the week, as opposed to doing a single two-hour
show, yeah.
So there's going to be quite a bit of shifting around for the next while. So, you know, we'll have a chat with the hosts and see, does anybody want to move, or anybody willing to voluntarily move, or whatever.
I've actually thought about that. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about it sometime when we do get a chance.
Exactly.
You know, midnight till two, or midnight to one, mm-hmm. at, not the most, appealing hours for a lot of people over there. I've changed my schedule around. I'm actually up at anywhere between 6:30 and 7:30 in the morning here, which is going to be like noon your time, you know, or in the early afternoons. I've actually thought about maybe changing my hours around to get an earlier time.
We could really do a firing up the afternoon broadcast. Sean McGuire's doing one on Tuesday. I was intending on doing one. I haven't gotten around to doing it yet, but I will be. And we have a few other guys interested in doing afternoon radio now. So I'm hoping to have all that straightened out over the Christmas and into the new year.
Yes.
You know, brilliant. We'll get that sorted. And as I say, I think there's 4 or 5 new hosts in the background waiting to come on, looking for slots, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, all good.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mentioned in the beginning, I didn't want to have a very long show, and I do appreciate you coming on, but,
Oh, delighted to, Stephen, because, you know, again, I was concerned about you. We were all worried about you, in fairness, and delighted to have you back.
And I appreciate all the concerns. I do. It really meant a lot to me.
Well, at one stage, geez, I think the hosts were falling like fucking, you know.
Yeah.
It was like, ping, ping, ping. Where the hell are the hosts going? They were all getting sick.
Yeah, especially that one single week. I think Jill told me that there was 4 shows that didn't happen in 1 week.
Yeah. So, but look, again, you know, everybody knows this is all voluntary, folks. We do what we do because we believe what we're doing is correct and decent. That's one of the biggest things for me. And I know it means something to you too, Stephen, that this idea of decency, we're just trying to be decent people. That's all, decent to one another. We're trying to encourage and promote decency.
Yes. Yes. And, it needs to spread, that type of a message. It needs to spread.
It is spreading. That's the beauty of it. It's simple and it's working.
Well, that's good. And with that thought there...
I'm happy enough to let you finish out one if you want. I know you want to probably play a tune to finish off or whatever. So again, just delighted to have you back.
Well, what is that saying that you always have at the end of your shows?
Iha watagas kolosov.
Yes, and that is what? Goodbye to
Iha wa. Iha is night. Wa is good. Iha ma, good. So it's night, good. Agus means and. Kola is sleep. And sov is easy. So good. It's night, good. And sleep easy. Iha wa agus kolosov.
And that's fitting right there. So thank you, everyone. I will be back next Wednesday night at midnight, unless there is a schedule change.
Yeah, well, I mean, other than that, the schedule from now on, folks, is going to be kept up to date, and it will be an accurate representation of what's going on.
All right. Yes, fair enough.
So, as Sean McGuire says, fairly snuff.
Fairly snuff, huh?
I have heard Harry Muff, but we won't get into that right now.
All right. Take care, and good night, everyone.
Night, Steve. Cheers.